Turning now in the Word of God to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and reading verse 28. Proverbs, chapter 22, reading the 28th verse. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And my title this morning is The Removal of Hope. When we remove the revealed Word of God from society and from our lives, we inevitably remove every last vestige of hope in this life and in the life to come. Hope of fulfillment as human beings, hope of meaning, hope of forgiveness, hope of eternity. This is a profound verse. And actually this verse is a land law in Israel, in ancient Israel. It was a land law. You find it a few times, this land law, in the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. So we find it earlier on in the Old Testament. Landmarks in ancient Israel were ancient means of distinguishing property. And to remove it was a great breach of conduct. It was theft, basically. If I, a fellow Israelite or a stranger in the land, removed a landmark, it was theft. It really was like that. And it was forbidden by God to do so. It was forbidden. And I just quote an earlier verse in the book of Deuteronomy. You don't need to turn there, but I'll just quote it. It's Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Well, the fact that this land law is now repeated here in the book of Proverbs is actually very peculiar. It's strange. We ask ourselves, well, what on earth is a landlord doing in the book of Proverbs? Because the book of Proverbs is a completely different type of literature than the first five books in the Bible. The first five books in the Bible are historical in nature. The book of Proverbs is not like that. The book of the biblical definition of a proverb there's spiritual messages contained in these pictures or these parables, very much like the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. It could be communicating anything, normal everyday circumstances, like a farmer or a sower sowing his seed. And behind this picture or this everyday event, there is a special message, a divine message, a spiritual message contained in it. So that's what Proverbs are, according to what the Bible teaches, Proverbs and parables. So when you come to the book of Proverbs and you see a verse like this, you think to yourself, well, this is quite inappropriate. What is an ancient Israelite landlord doing here in the book of Proverbs? Well, because we know what the book of Proverbs is like, and because we know the nature of the book, it starts to become obvious why it is here. It's here in the book of Proverbs because it has a spiritual message contained in it. There's a significant spiritual message behind the land law. And that's why, inspired by the Spirit of God, Solomon pens it down in the book of Proverbs. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So the big question is this: what is the spiritual message locked in this land law? Well, old Bible commentators are actually unanimous as to what, or almost unanimous as to what this spiritual message is. And it's not difficult to discover when we realize that this is very much a book of parables and allegories. It's simply this, that we are exhorted here in this proverb to reverence and respect principles which have been treasured and loved for generations. Here is a warning in this verse. Do not remove the spiritual landmark which thy forefathers have set. In doing so, you really do reap the whirlwind. So that's what this, primarily what this verse is teaching us. Do not remove these well-established principles, and in the case, we're reading the Bible this morning, so of course it's speaking about God's revealed truth. Do not remove this from conscience. Do not remove this from society. There are serious repercussions for doing so. So this is what it's speaking about in this profound verse. And of course we know, don't we? We know that the Bible has shaped the modern world, particularly the West, for good. The Western world has been profoundly modeled and shaped on biblical principles, politically, morally, socially, spiritually, all our infrastructures. You can trace them. Every benefit and blessing we have in the West, you can trace it back to the Bible and the teachings of the Bible. There's a wonderful book I would recommend. It's called The Book That Made Your World. And we had the speaker at our conference a few weeks ago. And he proves, he's done a lot of research, he proves historically that all the benefits we have in the West go back directly to the Bible, to the Scriptures. It's an amazing thing. We can trace these things back to the Bible. But you know, we're losing these privileges very fast. We're losing them. The advantages that we have, that they're slipping out of our grasp. Well, why? Why are we losing these privileges and these things that we take for granted? Why are we losing them? Well, simply, we have the answer here in verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. It's because we as individuals and we as a society have decided to reject, to remove the spiritual landmark. We despise these past values. We despise this ancient book. We don't want it anymore. Even though we know that it has been upheld and loved for generations, nevertheless, we don't want this landmark anymore. And the arrogance and the conceit of this current generation is quite staggering. And it really reminds me of a passage of scripture later on in the book of Proverbs. Let me just quote this passage. It's in a later chapter in the book of, and it really does remind me of this generation. Proverbs chapter 30, reading from verse 11 to 14. I'm sure you're aware of these verses. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor off the earth and the needy from among men. This is such a generation in which we live. We don't need the Bible anymore. We don't need that old, antiquated book. That was for people who lived in a bygone era, an era of ignorance and darkness. We don't need these things. We don't need those. These people were simple-minded. This is an age of science, and we can reinvent the wheel, as it were. We can move on from this antiquated way of thinking. That's the attitude of people. That's the attitude of society, the society in which we live. Well, what are the consequences of removing the spiritual landmark from society? What are the consequences of removing the Bible? Well, the Bible itself tells us. It's like the landmark has attached to it a label with all the consequences of what will happen if we remove it. There's a warning label attached to it, attached to this spiritual landmark. Amputate the message from my life, from society, and you're opening Pandora's box. You really don't know what you're doing. That's the warning here in this verse. It's interesting because people think this way, don't they? They say, what does this ancient book, how can this have any relevance for us today? This is how people think. This is an ancient book and we don't need it anymore. What relevance does it have in my life today? Well, it's very interesting because the word ancient here in the Hebrew, in this verse, remove not the ancient landmark, that the word in the Hebrew literally means vanishing point. And in other parts in the Old Testament, it's translated as eternity. And that is interesting because that is what the Bible is like. It transcends culture and time. It's a timeless message. You can't pin it down to a particular culture. You can't do that with the Bible. You can do it with any other book. But because the Bible has been inspired by the living God, yes, he speaks through his prophets and his servants, the 40 authors that made up the 66 books, but the one who inspired these men to write, he lives outside of time. And the message of the Bible is timeless for that reason. And you look at the lessons in the scriptures, and they're so relevant to any time, and especially this time. So I just point that out. People say, well, this is an ancient book. Yes, it is. But it's an eternal book as well. So it's important to understand that. Its warnings, its prophetical warnings, its prophetical warnings are 100% accurate. They always come to pass. And let me just pause for a moment and speak about the prophetical nature of the Bible. Yes, there are other so-called religious books which claim prophecy, but they're vague and ambiguous, and they don't come to pass. But the Bible, when the Bible speaks of prophecy, especially concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, you think of the time when Christ came to this world 2,000 years ago. Before that event, in the Old Testament, well over 300 prophecies concerning Christ in such minute detail, where he would be born, he would be betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, he would be crucified with his hands and his feet. David prophesied that 1,000 years before it even happened, and a form of execution which didn't exist at the time. So many specific prophecies concerning Christ, and when he came into this world, they were all fulfilled. This is a divine book, friends. This book is highly elevated over time, and it's relevant to all time, and its prophecies are accurate, and its warnings are accurate as well. So, for example, I'll just give you an example. The prophetical warnings of the scripture. If we as a society, for example, and we've done this in this land, if I repudiate, for example, the doctrine of the depravity of the human race, what will happen? We don't believe this appalling doctrine that I am sinful by nature, that I have original sin in my heart, that I'm depraved. We hate this doctrine. It's belittling. It makes us feel guilty. We're going to get rid of this doctrine. Well, what happens if I do that? What happens if I get rid of this doctrine, or I don't believe it anymore? You will see the rawest form of that depravity in that nation, or those people's lives who reject that doctrine, because I believe that human nature doesn't need restraining. And this has been applied in this land. We don't need these teachings of the scripture. Human nature isn't that bad. And you apply that to society, and you see how things descend into moral and spiritual chaos. And it's happening. So the warnings in the Bible are 100% accurate. You see them happening. When you see the warning label on the spiritual landmark, you see these things are coming to pass. We don't need a savior. We don't need God's revealed word. We can create our own perfect society, a utopia without the living God, without God. Well, this idea has already been played out in history, has it not? This idea of rejecting God's revealed word, this idea of not needing a creator, and that we as human beings, we're good at heart and we can accomplish great things, we've already seen the consequences of this idea. You think of the French Revolution and the bloodbath that resulted, and you think of the following communist regimes in the 20th century. We've seen these atheistic ideas played out. They're destructive, friends, and we see how profound this verse is. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You think of going back to this particular land law. Think back in your mind's eye to ancient Israel. And the land was apportioned to different tribes, and within the tribes there were different families. What if someone who was a thief, or whether it was an Israelite or a stranger, what would happen if they decided to remove a landmark? They wanted to claim that piece of land or a portion of that land for themselves. Well, what would happen is that there would be great chaos. There would be feuds among the tribes and the families. Well, whose land is this? No, our family's land extended to that tree over the court. And there would be great confusion and chaos, and it would descend into civil disorder. That's what would happen if one of these landmarks back then was removed. So you can understand this commandment from the Lord not to do so. There would be great chaos and disorder as a result of this. And this is what happens when we remove the spiritual landmark from society and our lives. It's exactly the same, spiritually applied. What is the mantra today? What are people saying? How do I gauge truth? Well, people say, well, by current popular opinion. We have a consensus of what is right and wrong, and by these means we press forward. But that's ridiculous, friends. And if you reject the living God, and if you reject God's revealed truth, that's all you have. Truth becomes relevant, and that is incredibly dangerous. It's a futile way of thinking, because everyone does what's right in their own eyes, and what is popular now and what is abominable now becomes acceptable in 10 years or 20 years' time. So things are just getting worse. Things descend into moral and spiritual chaos. And when the Bible is removed from society, what enters into that vacuum is the most pernicious and dangerous ideas conceivable. And we see ideas coming in, filling in that empty void, which makes us shudder, makes us fear and tremble. What is going to happen to our children? What is going to happen to the next generation? You see these things coming in. I'm sorry to speak so solemnly, but the repercussions of removing this spiritual landmark are so great. Things are being legalized now that you wouldn't believe would be. And what is coming, you think it's bad now, it's going to get a whole lot worse if the Lord tarries, if the Lord does not come and put things right, or if the Lord does not return in judgment. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Well, we see this happening. We got rid of the morals and the teachings of Scripture. Well, there was a lot of deception and a lot of ideas permeating among society before this, but the lid blew off in the 60s with the 60s drug and sexual revolution. And today every conceivable moral evil has risen to astronomical levels compared to the past. People are more depressed than ever. We're now speaking of assisted suicide. These things are becoming the norm. People hooked on gambling and filthy things and drugs. We now live in a violent culture. You just have to go on the social media and you can see how abusive people are. It's shocking. Well, this verse, it's so profound. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Well, who are these fathers? Who are these ancestors? Who are these people which this verse is referring to? Well, it's primarily referring to revealed Scripture, those who were inspired to write this from the Lord. But it's also speaking of those who gave their lives in spreading this gospel message. Not just in Bible times, but in church history. Those who gave their lives for the spread of the gospel and the promotion of the word of God. That's who these forefathers are also. You think of godly men like William Tyndale, and a Cambridge scholar. And he came to know the Lord. He came to Christ by reading the Greek Testament of Erasmus, the Greek New Testament, and he had a great burden because at that time, England was dominated by Catholicism, and it was forbidden to read and to translate the Bible into English. And he saw the detrimental effect this was having on people's lives. They were in ignorance, they were in darkness, and so he had a great burden to translate the Scriptures into English. And he knew that if he would do this, he knew very well, if he would do this, he would be persecuted and hounded for the rest of his life. And yet he did it. He did it out of love for souls, out of love for those whom he saw that were in spiritual ignorance and darkness. He had a great burden. And there were many, that's just one example. There are many others. Missionaries, pastors, preachers, monks. You think of Martin Luther. Well, he didn't die for his faith, but William Tyndale did. He was martyred. He was burnt at the stake. And many of these men and women, godly, doing all they can to promote the scriptures and the gospel, and they gave their lives, just like they were following the example of their Savior, who out of love gave his life for sinners. They were following that example. So these are the forefathers. These are those who gave their lives for the spread of the message. Well, you compare them to those who are, you compare them to the trendsetters today. Let's do a comparison. Those who wish to remove the spiritual landmark today. Well, who are these people? Well, you find them everywhere. You find them in politics, career politicians. Not every politician, I mustn't be cruel, not every politician is a career politician, but in the media, in the music industry, in the movie industry. Well, you look at their lives and you look at what kind of people they are. Do you see great sacrificial love for society? Do you see a great burden in their hearts, longing to help people, not just physically, but spiritually? Do you see them weeping for the souls of people? No, these people are selfish to the core. And they really don't care what damage they inflict on young children. So you make a comparison. Our forefathers, spiritually, who spread the gospel, and they were willing to suffer so much for it. And you compare those today, these trendsetters today, who want to remove the spiritual landmark. Oh, my friends, by their fruit ye shall know them. You shall know what type of people they are. They're pernicious and wicked and vile people who make it their business to get rid of the message of the gospel in society and in this world. Well, we are all unworthy sinners, and God can save anyone. No one is beyond the reach of the grace of God. It's interesting because I'll just mention this one more thing. There's this one really famous atheist, probably the most famous atheist in society at the moment. You may know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to say his name. But he was going to hold a dinner to celebrate his great success in promoting his evolutionary ideas. I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a year or so ago. He had a candlelit dinner for his new book and the success of his work. But there was a catch. You had to pay $1,000 to have dinner with him. The dinner's on you, apparently. But I'm saying this because if you look at the men, our forefathers who spread the gospel, who made it their business to make Christ known, they were willing to go under such deprivation, lack of food, often losing sleep. And many of these men died young. You think of Calvin and other people that the deprivation of sleep, what they were willing to do to get the word out. Unselfish men, full of love for others. But these people today, who are trying to get rid of the Bible, selfish, utterly selfish. And oh, friends, we need to really humble ourselves and see this verse and how it applies to us. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And you notice, I've said this in the beginning, that this verse is a warning. It warns us that if we remove this landmark from our lives, we really cut the branch from which we're sitting on. This is the Creator's manual for life. It's His manual for how we can be made right with Him. It's his manual for how we can be protected and guided safely through this wilderness of this life and meet Him, our Savior, in heaven. Why would I want to get rid of this? Why would I want to remove this from conscience and from my life? It's utter foolishness. It's madness. Well, you may say to me this morning, well, preacher, I do understand the things you're saying, and I think they're important, but they don't apply to me. Because I don't have any qualms with I don't have an axe to grind with the Bible. I'm okay with the Christian faith. I'm perfectly happy with it. I enjoy the Christian environment. I appreciate the Bible. Yes, it's true. I have not committed to Christ. I have not given my life to Christ. Deep down, I'm not a true Christian. But I'm not against these things. I've never been a vocal advocate an instigator against the scriptures. So this Bible, this message is not relevant to me, my dear friend. If you are not in Christ, if you have never given your life to Christ, according to what the Bible teaches, you will be put under the same category as those God haters. That's what the Bible teaches. And Christ put it best. Let me quote Christ. Luke chapter 11, verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. It all boils, I've been speaking about society a lot, but it all boils down to individuals. When God judges the world, he will judge individuals. He will judge us personally. Friend, have you moved the spiritual landmark from your life? Have you removed it from your life? I'm going to reject this message. I'm going to go along with the rest of society. I'm going to reject the Bible from my life. Well, it's dangerous to do so, because when you ignore the gospel message, if you despise it in your heart, maybe no one knows this, maybe deep down you have a resentment for this message, you feel uncomfortable when you hear the gospel. Well, every time you ignore this, well, by doing so, you're crossing that dangerous line. You're removing that spiritual landmark. And our conscience is, in a way, our conscience is like a spiritual landmark, because God has put into our conscience his moral law, the Ten Commandments. So every time I violate conscience, and every time I listen to Satan who whispers to me, don't commit to Christ now. You're young. Or he'll give you other reasons. Become a Christian later. Put off the day. Oh, friend, that is futile thinking. If the Lord is working in your heart this morning, do not resist him any longer. Come to Christ. Give your life to him. You may have these false ideas of what it is like to be a Christian, or friends, to be a Christian. Christian is liberating. Having that peace and joy. No longer living for the things of this trivial world. We can enjoy the many good things in this world as Christians, but we no longer live for these things. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Don't remove the spiritual. If you have, there is still hope for you. Christ is the pinnacle of this hope which we can lose. He is the pinnacle of that hope. You know, Christ Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, he didn't have to come to this world and die for sinners. He had no obligation to come and to die for sinners. He didn't have to. God would have been perfectly righteous if he judged the whole world. But God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And the Son of God was commissioned 2,000 years ago to hang and to bleed on that cursed cross for unworthy rebels like you and me. Picture him there, friends, in your mind's eye by faith, dying. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Seek him. Put your trust in him. Realize that the Son of God took the full weight of your sin upon his own shoulders, that so that you won't have to go to hell. Can you see love on this scale anywhere else? Among men, among people? No, this is divine love. Divine love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me? Seek him while he may be found. No longer remove that ancient landmark. No longer violate conscience. Seek the Savior. Call upon him. And then you will know tangibly why our forefathers and those who cherished this word of God and the Savior for generations, you will know why they so loved it and so protected it for generations. So may this be the case with you, friend. May you embrace Christ. May you embrace this message this morning. And you will discover the amazing privilege of what it is to walk with the Savior and to have his blessing and his unfathomable love now and for eternity. Amen.